she's that's
Love
an automated
Talk
thing
Radio.
that I just can't get off. I mean, it doesn't mean anything. Only you and I are hearing it. It's just annoying to
our
conversation. Yeah, nobody hears but us.
You know, but I like that voice recording. I'm gonna.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna kill her if I
like
ever
that.
See it. yeah, you like it.
You know, but really, what they are saying is that you know, people nowadays are thriving with diseases that used to kill us,
right.
And health issues that used to kill us, and you know, now it's more about their ability to function. You know, because if you lose your functional abilities, you know, everything starts to deteriorate
and
rapidly.
Yeah, I will ask you this because I know you have a lot of affiliates in the business of exercise.
Yes.
And I just passed by the first time I actually saw it on a big sign. It was a gym, but it said functional gym.
Yeah.
And they did their exercises completely differently than I had ever seen before. They were doing things like shoveling snow. And looking at heart rates based on that. So interesting. But,
There's a lot of changes happening.
There are. So we'll cover that. Although this show, as you know, is for laymen, we certainly want to mention your conference and how great it is. And is there anything else that you actually want to plug outright?
You know, probably for us, the main thing coming up is you know, our Active Aging Week celebration. You know, it's our 14th year for Active Aging Week. We have about 3,000 plus organizations across the country with hundreds of thousands, if not, you know, a million plus older adults that are participating in Active Aging Week this year. And you know, it's very exciting. Last year it was in five different countries around the world. You know, that's probably the biggest thing that we have right in front of us.
Great. That's wonderful. So, which is terrific. Now, I'm going to start out with that. You'll see. You know, you've been on before, so you know I lead very easily and you talk very easily, so there's no problem. We have two 8 or so or 9 or so minute segments. We'll start in a couple of minutes. What I'm doing now, just to bring you up to date, is I'm really working to expand the show. We are in several stations. It is syndicated by BizTalk Radio. At this point, the listenership are the older adult, the baby boomer and the caregiver and the older adult, the people themselves. BizTalk is a BizTalk station. So what I am talking to them about, they would love this, I'm the one who's on the fence, is to change the show to have a business appeal, the business of aging, and talk more about the kinds of things that you do and others as well. What is a geriatric care manager? How do you build that business? How do you build? And so they may give me another hour. I don't think I want to give up Generation Bold. It's
mm-hmm.
too important to me personally to get this information out to the public. We may be doing another hour that's a business-oriented hour. And there's something with that we may be able, if you have an interest in it, to any of your sponsors can get on to that show as an extra added attraction. In other words, as guests.
Yes.
Talking more about them in their business than with a message for the business people in the field of aging as opposed to the consumer in the field of aging.
Mm.
So that's the new thing that's happening.
Very cool.
So we'll see what we're doing with that. And for you, we have a lot of new stuff. I mean, I mostly follow it in the magazine. I think I'm up to date with you. Am I right?
You know what? There's always new stuff coming out. It's... You know, that seems to be the way of the world, and that is that you know, you keep doing what you do, but you add to it, and you know, we have a variety of different things coming out in the new year, like you know, certificate courses, all these different kinds of things.
Ah,
you know, from an educational standpoint, right? So It's one of those things that, you know, you don't want people to ever get bored or feel that you're stale by doing the same old stuff, same old stuff. You know, you just got to constantly be putting out new, you know, new and exciting and interesting information.
Well, we will be I'll always follow through on that, know what's going on. Now, I always say that you're the founder. International Council of Active Aging. Are you founder and CEO, or how do you call yourself, your title?
Yes, founder and CEO.
Okay, good. Very good. So you're going to hear some music. I'm going to do the introduction on the presidential thing. I'll introduce you, and we'll start to talk first about is it a week celebration of Active Aging?
It is. It's from the 25th. Of September to October 1st, which is also ICAA's 15th anniversary, October 1st.
All right, so we're terrific. And Stuart, we're ready. Yep, we're ready.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
Yes, because he's inappropriate for his age. And hello, 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 this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And that comes from our little 10-minute musical called Inappropriate for Your Age. And you can hear the whole thing on our website, generationboldradio.com. And you know that this is one of the rare shows, maybe it is the only show, some tell me it's the only show, that deals with the real issues of aging that you'll be facing in your life. But for this particular presidential election season, one of the issues of aging has really become national. And that is all of this chit-chat, this talk, this probing about whether both our candidates are just too old to be president. Now, I did a little work, and I have an extraordinary guest with us today to discuss how we bring ageism even into the voting booth, why active aging is much more important than your age, your chronologic age. But let's take a very quick look at this. Should Trump win, at age 70, he would be our oldest president ever elected. For Hillary Clinton, at age 69, she'd be the second oldest president ever elected, just behind Reagan by just a few months. So what is, from the beginning of time, our time, George Washington, to the present, the average age of our presidents? The answer is 54 years and 11 months. So the question, is a 69 or 70-year-old less fit than an almost 55-year-old just because of their chronology? Well, to answer that question, we have somebody who lives and breathes the issues of active aging. In fact, he's the founder and the CEO of the International Council of Active Aging. His name is Colin Milner. He's been a guest on the show before on other issues, and he actually wants to tell everybody what they can do so they can be as active as possible and have the healthiest future, but also what should we feel about the fact that we may be led in this country by an older adult, or what we euphemistically call the mature. So thank you, Colin, for being with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm glad to be back, and congratulations on all the success of your show.
Well, so same to you, because this is the 15th anniversary of the ICAA. That's coming up at the beginning of October. But on September 25th through the beginning of October is a very special time in the lives of the mature, the active aging. Tell us about that, and then we're going to relate that to what's going on in the media with the presidential campaign.
Yes, from September 25th to October 1st is Active Aging Week. It's a time where people from all over the world, really five different countries, including the U.S. and Canada, come together to celebrate the possibilities of what still lays in front of us and how we can embrace those as we grow older. And, you know, by the way, we are growing older. That's the exciting part about life, is it doesn't matter how old you are. Every day we move forward. The thing is how we embrace it, and whether we are at a high physical level to get the most out of these opportunities. And during that week, we celebrate that. There's, you know, as I mentioned in our pre-call, that there's hundreds of thousands of people that participate in this, maybe even a million, in 3,000 organizations that are hosting Active Aging Week celebrations all over the country. So it's a very exciting time, not just for ICAA and its members, but for older adults all over the country.
Yeah, and I will say this. I'll say that although we are doing this in our own lives, and I'm going to play devil's advocate for a minute, when we look at our leaders, and frankly, not just those running for president, but our doctors, our lawyers, our financial planners, the people that we're bringing into our lives voluntarily, not our family, we often say the magic words, too old. So let's take a look at this media frenzy and see if we can unpack it a little bit. Look, it is true. Trump and Clinton will be the oldest presidents we have, regardless of who's elected. This is not a political show. I'm talking about looking at this through the lens of their age. And the media is having a great time. The media is pretty biased. So if it's her, they'll talk about her health. If it's him, they'll talk about the fact that there's Alzheimer's in his family. They want every word about their health to be disclosed, and that should be. But let's say it is disclosed, Colin, and they have some functional issues that are related to aging, but not in any way. If a younger person had the same thing, they would look at it very differently, and that's the prejudice that I'm concerned about, that age alone is a factor. This is what you've been fighting. Tell us about that fight and whether you believe that age alone is a factor in the ability to lead.
Well, I think that the world needs to get over themselves when it comes to aging. You know, we live in a very youth-centric society because for the past many hundreds of years, that has been basically who we have been. You know, our life expectancy was up until the turn of the 1900s, 47. Now, we're well beyond that, 30 years beyond that and rising. So we are looking at an older world, and we're experiencing a lot more in regards to what we are able to do as we grow older. With decades of research, what we do know, Adrian, is that no two individuals experience aging in the exact same way. So to base our comments on someone's age, as we all age at different rates based on our health, our lifestyles, you know, our genes, is really an unfair comparison for someone trying to compare them against a younger person. What we do know is that it is less about age and more about our lifestyle and our abilities. A perfect example of that is that, you know, today, 92% of people over the age of 65, that's almost all of us. So that includes Trump and Clinton, actually have some form of chronic health issues. And 77% of us have at least two. The thing is, today, we're living with the issues that used to kill us. These issues such as diabetes and, you know, depression and obesity and dementia and all of these other health issues are now in many ways, you know, manageable to a certain degree. What actually really dictates our ability is just that, our functional ability. I'll give
right.
you a prime
can
example of that.
Yeah.
But yeah,
you know, can we do it?
Yes. Can they do it?
And you know,
they
And
they
you know,
can do it.
They can. And I'll tell you, I want to give you a couple of statistics that were surprising to me. You see, Colin Milner just said that, like, 47, around 1900, was your age. George Washington was 57 years old when he took office. Thomas Jefferson was 57. James Madison was 57. John Quincy Adams was 57. This was 1789 through 1825. These were very old men. These are much older men than Hillary and Donald are today, because most of the people were dead by then. So we have to look at their ages, I think, as Colin is saying, in the context of where we are today. When a 69-year-old and a 70-year-old is not any older than a 57-year-old was many, many years ago, maybe younger. And we can also take a look at a John Kennedy, who was one of our youngest presidents when he took office. In fact, they would complain he was too young. And what Kennedy said was, yeah, but I'm doing something about that every day, which was a great line. It was a great line, Colin. But he was 43 years old, and he was pretty sick. I mean, he was on pills. This was a pill popper. So, and we consider him one of our greatest presidents. So we have a real prejudice, and the media absolutely loves it. Now, we have about a minute before our break, Colin. Explain what you mean by functionality, because you were talking about functional aging as opposed to chronologic aging.
Yeah, it's our ability to do the things that we take for granted each and every day, whether it is clothing ourselves, whether it's walking up a set of stairs, whether it is, you know, reaching overhead to get your luggage from a, you know, the bin in a plane. It's the day-to-day abilities that we have to function. Now, a prime example of a great specimen with high functional abilities is Fajut Singh, who celebrated his 100th birthday running the marathon in Toronto, Canada. So, you know, at the age of 100, I think Trump still has 30 years to go to match him.
Yep. And, you know, by the way, secret, Colin Milner is Canadian, but please do not hold that against him. That's why he knows about what's going on in the Toronto Marathon. But it's also because he's in touch with issues of active aging and the founder of the ICAA. We'll be back with Colin in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, that's perfect, except it goes too fast, doesn't it?
It does. You know, you blink, and it's like, wow, was that 10 minutes?
I know. So we're resetting. Now a commercial comes in. You won't hear that. And now we're going to go to your next segment. And, of course, to me, I do want to speak a little bit about the conference and let people, from this point of view, from the point of view of the trends. In other words, I already see that you have a whole different battery of presentations.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as, you know, the usual suspects, we'll say. But
yes.
I take the kind of topics that you cover as a measure of trends in aging. So that's what I want to look at on
sure.
that. And by the way, while they're doing the commercial, I could also tell you, you know, I've always been a financial advisor. That's always been like my big bread and butter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And speaking on it. So I started something new called financial gerontology. I didn't start that, but, I mean, I got my association in financial gerontology. And in our office, we're training people in financial gerontology.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an institute for that and a certification for that. But now that I'm on the front line and I'm really working with clients, it's very inadequate. So I'm really trying to come up with new concepts of how to work financially with people, because I'm finding a connection of health, the ability to exercise, cognitive fitness, and financial security that I've never seen before. I'm just seeing that connection. So I'm going to try to put that and articulate that a little bit better in the future, because it's really interesting.
Health equals wealth. And wealth equals health. You know, in the real world, those two comments kind of back each other up, where if you're healthy, you, of course, reduce your health care costs. in many instances. And as a matter of fact, just exercising can save you $2,500 a year. You know, walking 90 minutes a week, and it's so simple, but people don't pay, you know, $200-$300 to join a gym, as an example, but they could
right.
cut their healthcare expenses by $2,500.
Right. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit too.
Sure.
We're ready to go, and we have to be quiet, I am told. Okay. And hello, hello, hello once again. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And we're looking right now at the truth about the big numbers, like 70. 70-year-old for Donald Trump, 69-year-old for Hillary Clinton. And the fact that the media is having a frenzy over age alone. And as I said, heaven forbid that Bernie should have been elected, because, boy, it would have been a feeding frenzy just because of his age. And we're speaking with the founder and CEO of the International Council of Active Aging, Colin Milner. He's really on the front lines of getting rid of ageism as a trope in our lives. And it truly is. And none of us get over it, even though we ourselves really do want to age, because look at the alternative. And yet we can look at an older person, sometimes a person younger even than ourselves, and say they're too old just because of age. And I do want to point out that this election is bringing it to a head. It's very, very topical. My historic comment, I was mentioning that the average age of our presidents from the beginning was 54 years and 11 months. But, you know, one of our youngest presidents, Theodore Roosevelt, was a very sickly child, very, very sickly. Possibly, he didn't get elected. Somebody had to get assassinated for him to become president. But the fact is that I'm wondering today, if he was running for president, if they wouldn't look at his background. And the most famous being, of course, FDR, who had to be held up at the podium and was actually in a wheelchair, and the press wouldn't even take a photo of him in the chair. So the difference in coverage of age and infirmity is hugely different today. Now, I'm going to throw this at you, Colin. Explain to people about your conference and how your conference really is a bellwether of what the trends are in aging, so that maybe we can change our thinking about aging.
Well, that's a great comment and question all in one. Our conference actually takes place and has for many, many years in the last couple of weeks of November. This year it is November the 17th to the 19th in Orlando, Florida. And what we do is we bring together some of the top people in the health and wellness area and senior living area and the aging area to all come together to look at what are some of the main areas to focus on when it comes to healthy aging, whether it is our cognitive abilities or brain health, brain fitness as it's called in many instances, whether it is our physical health, whether it's the impact that arts have on us or socialization. So there's so many different areas. But what we do is we look at what is trending. You know, what are some of the most important areas that science is pointing to and directing us towards a better life? And we highlight those and educate those who are actually delivering programs and services to older adults to help them do a better job so that they're more in tune with what the science and the trends are saying.
You know, here's my observation. I've been to your conferences a few times, and this is what I want to bring out to the public. Congratulations again. It's a 15-year-old organization, almost single-handedly created by Colin Milner, but it's all over the world now. literally, every time I call him up, he's in Japan or something like this, doing another presentation. But here's been my observation. At the very beginning, it was a lot about exercise. It was a lot about keeping healthy and awareness. Today, so much of it is about life fulfillment that you are teaching and talking about. What the older adult brings to the table of the world and how to get it from them and have them realize that that's the case. And that's why, in a way, I'm happy that we have older folks, so to speak, running for president, because it's one of these, gee, I can do anything type of thing. But I want to go back to you, Colin, in the fact that you still are always struggling with this issue of ageism. What do you think? Why can't we get over this? We don't even see it as wrong. I mean, if there's an issue about race, or if there's an issue about color or gender, everybody's out there with a poster. If somebody gets insulted because someone says they're older, everybody thinks it's funny. They just chuckle. And is it because we're all in the boat? We're all getting older, and we don't want to? I really can't grasp it, Colin. What do you think?
Oh, I think that is the magic question. And I believe that part of the issue is exactly what you just said, and that is there's a certain, fear of getting older, and, we try and deny it at every turn. We see industries that have been spawned over the last few decades, like the anti-aging industry, that is there to fight getting older. So I think that what we have done is, instead of embracing the wisdom, the knowledge, and the expertise that comes with age, at a certain age, you're no longer valued. You have retired, if you have. You are now, what are you? That becomes a question. I'm Tom, I'm Tony, I'm Dick, I'm whatever. But without an identity of the workplace, you are almost invisible. To marketers, 90% of all marketing dollars universally are spent on individuals below the age of 50. So,
who have less money, but that's another story. Who have less money to buy anything, but okay. Yep.
Well, the reality is that we just simply neglect older people, and part of it, I think, is an ageist thinking that older people are burdens, that we'd be better if at some age they just simply passed on because they are costing society an awful lot of money to keep and support them, and in many instances, that's an incorrect way of thinking, but that is one of the ways of thinking from the past. It's all about diminished living, where today, the reality is we're filled with potential, and the world is providing us with untapped potential. So what do we do with that? Well, part of how we respond to that is dictated on how people respond to us.
Yes, yes. And so the fact is that we always talk about the possibilities of aging, the fact that this third age is one of transcendence, is one of creativity, activity, giving back instead of taking. We talk about the fact that we should realize that the older adult is not a burden, but a value, and have all kinds of avenues for giving back after retirement. But it's going to be a long time between drinks yet. I want to thank you, Colin, for being with us. And I'm curious. I can't wait to see how all the stories play out about health and aging on the national election front. But keep up the good fight. And remember, everybody, September 25th, and for the whole week, active aging. So get out there. Thanks, Colin. Thank you for being with us today.
Thanks, Adrian. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, we're going to come back. We're going to be talking about somebody who really toils in the field of successful aging and what the election means to them. Leadership or diminishing returns when it comes to our ageist thinking. Okay, fantastic. That's really, really wonderful. All right, we're good. If there's anything else, that you need if you ever want to be on and, you know, promote something or you see somebody who's a very good guest, let me know. Okay, Colin?
I will do that. And, you know, when it goes up, let me know, and I'm happy to share it through our network.
Great. I will let you know about it. And also the affiliates that we already have, I'm being in touch with. So we'll see if there's something we can do within this show that has a business segment. Okay?
Perfect. Look forward to it.
Wonderful. Thank you. I can't hang up because my next guest is on, but you can hang up. We'll see you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Liz, are you on?
I am. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm smiling listening to Colin because I was speaking with him last week.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, it's becoming a little incestuous around here. Everybody knows that every time I get a guest on it, they say, oh, I just had lunch with him. So,
yeah.
And I got you through Paul, who's been a guest on my show many times. So we have a few minutes, and we're off the air. Nobody hears us, just you and me.
Okay.
I just need more of your background because I have to tell you that Paul gave me 3 pages of background. And if I read all your credentials, I would be off the air ready. So I wouldn't have time to talk. So how would you like to be introduced?
Just call me a health journalist that covers aging, health policy, and social determinants of health.
Okay, wait.
Or aging and health policy, if that's shorter.
Okay, good. Now, but you do have, I mean, you're at Hunter. You are the head
I'm
of
with the center. I'm with the Center for Health Media and Policy.
Okay. That's what I'm looking for.
Right. I'm a former senior fellow. I actually direct their media program now, the center's program, not Hunter's.
Okay.
And I cover aging for the Association of Healthcare Journalists.
Okay. Good.
Which is how I actually got to know Paul.
Okay. Now, what I've been doing today, and by the way, thank you so much for short notice and being on the air with me.
I understand short notice.
Good. The presidential campaign is the big thing in the news. We're not a political show. We don't take any sides. But both of them would be the oldest president ever elected, whichever one is elected, okay?
Right.
And the media is having a fairly decent frenzy over the age. And I think the public is also thinking about age. And in the first part, you didn't hear the whole first part of the show with Colin, we talked about the ages of our presidents. And actually, actuarially, they're not that old. Because of George Washington through James Monroe were 57 years old at a time when 45 was the usual lifespan.
Right.
And yet, we think of these people as old. So I have two things I want to cover with you, plus anything else you want to cover. One is, I do want to talk about how the media is looking at this and whether the media is using it as a field day or you think that they are covering it in a balanced way. Both ages, not one person or the other. And the other is, in terms of writing about health and aging, and as the topic, not as coverage of the campaign, but writing of health and aging. Through the years, what have you seen being more of the trends in aging and health? Do you see a difference in the way we regard? I think the answer has to be yes. How we regard our age and how we regard our health, but are we still stuck? And what's media's role? You see, I'm just going to say one thing. I'll say it on the air. Many, many years ago, there was a phrase, black is beautiful.
Right.
A lot of people aren't old enough to remember that. But the fact is, it changed everything. We really did look at people of different races with, I think, a much better eye.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, there were black models on Vogue magazine, and before you knew it, black was beautiful. That was it. There was nothing else to discuss. I think the media can do it. I think the only group that can change ageism is the media. That's what I think.
Okay.
Because they, so I just want to discuss it in that context of power and see if you agree, because you're doing it more than I am. And I don't know. But that's how powerful I think reimaging is. And is it happening? So that's my idea. Now, I don't know what you, if it's something you would like to promote or something you would like me to bring out, because we have time.
I don't have a book. I may be one of the few people out there without a book.
You're the only one in America. You're very distinguished in that way.
Okay.
Now that they have e-books and self-publishing, any cockamamie thing anybody wants to write, they can write.
I know. I mean, really, you know, my thing is, you know, news literacy and listen to more than one side, you know. Don't just listen to Fox. Don't just listen to MSNBC. Don't listen to Dr. Oz, for God's sakes. But I won't say that on the air.
I just was in a meeting in Napa. I was speaking, and the other person speaking was Dr. Roizen.
Okay,
Oz's partner, you know, real age.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, jump up and down 40 times so that your bones are more healthy. So I'm not kidding.
Okay,
yeah. Anyway, go ahead, Stu. We're ready to go. First, we're quiet. You'll hear music. I'll introduce the topic again, then I'll introduce you. Okay?
Got it.
We are here.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, hello, hello once again. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And we've been talking about the presidential election, the fact that the media is making a hoo-ha over the fact that if Trump is elected, he will be our oldest elected president. If Hillary is elected, she will be our second oldest elected president. The only one even near her age was Ronald Reagan, and he was actually a few months younger than Hillary when he was elected. But we also pointed out that such luminaries as George Washington, Adams, many of our early presidents, actually five of them, Madison as well, were 57 years old, all of them, when they were elected. Interestingly, the average age at that time, in terms of longevity, was only 45. These were very old men. And I would wager, I wasn't there, I know I'm pretty old myself, but I wasn't there, I would wager that one of the reasons they were elected was their age and experience. How do you like that? So we may have become even more ageist. And to talk about how the media is reacting to the presidential election, just with the issue of age, non-political, and how we should be thinking. We have somebody who writes and lives and breathes this issue. Her name is Liz Siegert. She's the first-time guest on our show. She is a journalist in aging and health policy. She is also a director at the programs at the Center for Health, Media, and Policy. And she's also with the Association of Healthcare Journalists. So she really knows how is the media covering health, what we are reading, what we're also being fed, feeding and reading. And I really want to get her take on things. So, Liz, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Adrienne. It's a pleasure.
All right, so you are not only a journalist, but you teach journalism, you work with healthcare journalists. What's your take? Is this something that, gee whiz, finally the issue of health is on the national stage when it comes to politics? Or do you think that they just see this almost as a third rail? How is the media responding to issues of aging and the election?
I think that in this day and age, a candidate's age is much less important than his or her ability to hold office. Age is always a concern, and health of a candidate is always a concern. The difference is now, because of social media, because of the internet, nothing really is kept secret anymore. In FDR's time, for example, the media rarely mentioned that he had polio, for example, or was in a wheelchair. Now, every time a candidate coughs or sneezes, the whole world knows about it. So I think the focus on aging is probably a little bit over the top.
You know, one of the things that we are seeing, though, is how is the public reading this? Now, one of your campaigns, I know, is to have people not be listening only to biased, one-sided media. The question is there any media that isn't today? And particularly on the national stage with regard to this election, but even on health issues. I see this all the time. You talk about a vaccine, and all you're hearing from one side is that it's wrong and the other side that it's right, and this is supposed to be media. Has there been a change in terms of objectivity with the way people are writing, even in the field of health?
I think that there are a lot of people out there that, and when I say people, I mean reporters and journalists, that don't have perhaps the right background or training in understanding how to read some of these scientific studies. For example, I get a lot of information from universities, from organizations that might talk about a great breakthrough study, and it's very sensationalized. But when you read through it carefully, you realize it might have involved maybe 20 people or that it was done in lab rats.
Yep.
That's very different than saying we found a cure for cancer, for example. So I think it's up to the media to be able to put these things in perspective. And unfortunately, a lot of stories now are what's called clickbait. They have these sensationalist headlines, and it's all designed to get you to read through to the webpage where the story is posted. We have a saying.
Did you say clickbait? Is that the word you
clickbait,
use?
Clickbait, yes.
Whoa, okay. And it's interesting.
Yes, it's you could liken it to a headline on a tabloid that you might see at the supermarket checkout. You know, aliens abduct Tom Cruise or something like that. And of course you're going to open the newspaper and you realize it's really nothing.
So that is the bait to make people read. And you know, in my former life I was a marketer. And I can
mm-hmm.
see that even when I turn on my homepage and I look at, not my website, but my computer page, there are stories. And I've noticed you just brought this up to me, Liz. I didn't realize it till you just said this to me. It's an epiphany for me. I keep looking at the headlines to see if I'm going to click through to read the story. And more they look familiar. And I just realized that they are formulaic to what I was trained to write as a marketer, to get people to read an ad, but also trained in email subject heads to get people to open an email. It's the same formula, and this is supposed to be objective news. So that's fascinating. So let me ask you this. On the national stage, is age clickbait? In other words, if the media writes or talks or reports on health and aging of the two candidates, at what level is that legitimate? Because, gee, we want to know what people's health status is if they're going to be the leader of this country. And at what level do you think it's clickbait? Because, gee, it's not really about politics or what's going on in another country or the economy. Your eyes don't glaze over. There are no numbers involved except for the age of the two candidates. You know, how balanced is this reporting?
I think it really comes down to it depends on the source. If you have a legitimate news organization, the Washington Post or CBS News, for example, it is likely to be more balanced than an organization that is very skewed towards one side or the other. And I'm not saying that it's necessarily all right-wing or all left-wing. There is bias in certain media, and you can see it when media comes out in terms of the stories they cover, the editorials they run. So the best way to get a balanced look at what is going on actually is for any consumer, any reader, any listener to listen to a variety of sources and then jump to your own conclusions. There's a big difference listening to NPR and listening to somebody like Rush Limbaugh, for example. There, the truth always lies somewhere in the middle.
In the middle. So let me just say this, my comment, then I want to go to the issue of policy. I'll never forget this. My dad died when I was young. All my listeners know this, and it's a big campaign of mine to help kids who are young who've lost their parents early in life. But this is what I remember about him. He used to sleep, no joke, on 7 newspapers, because before he went to sleep, he would be reading a newspaper, and he'd fall asleep at 7 newspapers. The Tribune, The Observer, The New York Times, The New York Post, he was a New Yorker. The Tribune, some of them don't even exist anymore. That's how he'd get his news, and he'd read it all, and that's very hard. Today, we have a clicker, we have a television, we can see things in 5 minutes, and yet we stay on the same program. Do you think people are just watching the same thing over and over again?
Yes,
and
there's been many studies.
Yep.
Exactly. There have been many studies that show that most TV watchers, most news consumers, tend to go right back to the media outlets that reinforce their existing opinions. So if you happen to lean right, for example, the likelihood is you will watch Fox. If you happen to lean left, you might watch MSNBC. If you lean somewhere in the middle, maybe you'll watch one of the three networks, maybe you'll watch CNN. It'd be difficult for somebody to listen to a news anchor or reporter that they don't agree with because, quite frankly, you wind up yelling at the television.
Yeah, it makes you angry and stressful.
Exactly.
Fascinating. All right, look, we are in an area of national stress. Everybody's very stressed about the campaign. Half the people don't know who to vote for, and the other half know exactly who to vote for, and then you can't talk to them about anything. But keep fighting the good fight, because I know that, as I said to everybody, in addition to being a journalist, you teach journalism.
You may think
it's wonderful, Liz Zeger, that you can bring that kind of integrity to this field. Thank you so much for being with us.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
And everybody else, get out there, kids, and make it happen.
My age. Da, 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 da. Da, 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 da.
Liz?
Yes.
Hello? Okay.
I'm
so
here.
We're going to take a little bit of a break, and we're going to go to segment two. Okay? Just
okay.
Okay, we're getting up new music. Just give us a few seconds, okay?
No problem.
Yes, we're ready.
Think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da.
And hello, 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 this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And in this show, we've been focusing on the hoo-ha being made around the aging of our two presidential candidates, Donald Trump at age 70 will be the oldest president we've ever elected, if he's elected. Hillary will be the second oldest, actually a little bit older than Ronald Reagan. And the fact is, though, that chronologically they may be older, but biologically they may actually be younger than some of our most famous iconic presidents, because most of the presidents, first five or six presidents that we had, starting from George Washington, were actually 57 years old. The average age of presidents, by the way, is 54 years, 11 months. So even there, our early presidents were very old men when elected. And that was commented upon once in a while, but often as the fact that they were venerable. In other words, they were experienced enough to lead the country. Today we seem to feel the other way around, and we have as our guest Liz Siegert, who actually mentioned in the first part of our show here that issues of health, even with FDR, who had polio and was often in a wheelchair, was never mentioned by the media. And Liz should know, because she is a journalist in aging, health, and policy. She teaches other journalists. She directs a program at the Center for Health, Media, and Policy. She's part of the Association of Healthcare Journalists, and she's just a very well-known journalist in the field of health and aging. Now, we talked about bias in the media and what people ought to do and why they don't, Liz. But I want to focus on a word here, and that word is policy.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question in my mind that the media influences the individual. But does the media now influence policy? And, of course, we can stay in the area of aging and health care, which you know the best. But do you believe that the way the media reports actually has an effect on policy, as opposed to just reporting what the policy is?
Oh, absolutely. Media has or can have an important effect on policy, both good and bad. When policymakers read stories in whatever the major newspapers are or stories in their home district, whether it's something about Social Security or something about Medicare or somebody who can't get health services because they're isolated and don't have transportation, that can directly affect local, state, and national policy in terms of services, in terms of support, and in terms of legislation. And for a good example of that is telehealth, where Medicare didn't used to reimburse physicians for doing remote telehealth services in many instances, or if they did reimburse them, it was not on par with an office visit. There have been enough stories in the press that have put some demand on Congress now to relook at that issue, and things are changing.
You know, one of the things we talked about during the first break was my belief that the media is extremely powerful, so powerful that it can change images. I call it imaging. I don't even know if that's a word in journalism. But I hark back to a time many, many years ago where there was a slogan, Black is Beautiful. And that slogan was a media slogan, and the fact is it changed the way people of all races looked, visually looked, at a black person or a person of color as more beautiful, more acceptable. And all of a sudden you saw some strange things. You saw the first black supermodel. You saw clothing being and makeup being particularly created for people of color. And now I know from my work with teenagers who've lost parents that black teenagers often have a much better self-image of themselves than white teenagers. You know, this was not true before a media campaign came into the picture and changed the way we saw, actually the way we saw things. So I believe we could change the images of aging. But let's go to this campaign. The media is covering it as old sick people. Should we be worried? Should we not just should we look into their health? We need to do that. But should we be worried just because of their age? They could also be covering it. Look how wonderful this is. This is a real statement of life begins at 65. But they're not. It's not happening. is the media just that bad news sells? What do you think, Liz? Why do we have such negativity instead of positivity in this area and in many others?
There are certain media that will upplay the bad news. There's an old saying, you know, dog bites man is not a story. Man bites dog is a possible story.
Right.
And the fact that both Trump and Clinton are relatively healthy, we think, for their respective ages is not really news. So why would anybody watch? We all know 68-year-olds, 70-year-olds that are as fit as people 20 years younger. So that isn't going to get eyeballs. That isn't going to get clicks. The fact that Hillary has pneumonia and she stumbled getting into a car, well, that makes life a little more interesting. That might be something somebody wants to see.
So it's really reader-viewer psychology.
It is. It really is. Unfortunately, the fact that they are 68 and 70 respectively, in my personal opinion, should be covered as a triumph for an older adult. There are many, many people 20, 30 years their junior that could not keep up the schedules that these two candidates are doing.
Absolutely.
It's no wonder they're tired. You know, you look at the campaigns, you look at the stress, you look at the lack of sleep, you look at the diets that they're doing or not doing, and I'm sure a 40-year-old would have problems in some cases.
You see, we forget that it was really Kennedy who was the first one I'll call television president. Before that, those running for president did not have this kind of stress or scrutiny. It just didn't exist. The technology didn't exist. So what they're going through is heightened. Even beyond, perhaps Obama was the first, let's say, social media president, where issues of what was going on Twitter and Facebook and all came to bear. But before him, this really wasn't a big deal. The extra stress is enormous, and we don't respect what's going on. We say it's age. But we thank you so much for your insights on all this, and we hope to have you back on with more issues of direct health care. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you.
And again, get out there. Make it happen. Active Aging Week, September 25th. Okay, doesn't that just run away? The time just runs away.
Yeah, it went fast.
It does. It goes so fast. So thank you. And let me tell you, if you have an article or you're working with somebody that has an article and a topic that you would like to have on the air, please just, you know, email me, call me. We'll do that every week at different times. We pre-record.
Okay.
And it goes on Sundays. From 10 to 11 Eastern Time, but it's in a lot of different states, so it's heard in different states. Some radio stations play it on Saturday nights as well. And the Wednesday after you're on, it gets archived on GenerationBoldRadio.com and also on our website and on BizTalk and on our homepage. We have you, and if you want to send a picture or a logo, we can put that up.
Great.
To tell people to listen to the archive.
Awesome. And I'll certainly share it on my network. This is great. I mean, personally, you know, I'm pro aging, obviously pro healthy aging. I cover so much of this, and you know, you hear about the super agers, the 100-year-old marathon runners, but you know, the reality is if you know, you can keep healthy, you can live a nice life for another 30 years after 65.
Absolutely. I just want to tell you one other thing because my next guest is on. We have an app. It's a free app, and that's BizTalk, Stuart.
Mm.
So if you go to biztalkradio.com, or you can even go to generationboldradio.com, you can download the app, and you can tell everybody that you want to listen to you live this Sunday
awesome.
On their phone. They can listen live on the phone or their computer if they have the free app called BizTalk. And for your group, which is probably mostly in Northeast, I don't know, they tune in at 10 o'clock and or the equivalent wherever they are, and they'll hear you live.
That's wonderful.
Oh, and if they go to biztalkradio.com, if they're by a computer, they can also go to the Listen Now, and they can hear it on their computer that way immediately. So if you want to tell your network earlier or put it on Facebook now before you're heard, they can listen to you live.
That's great.
You're in the second half of the show. Colin is the first.
Okay. I have to catch up with Colin,
you.
As a matter of fact. This has been fun, Adrian.
Thank you very much. We'll talk again. Take care.
Okay.
I can't hang up because my next guest is on. You have to hang up, okay?
Okay, will do. Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Right, bye.
Hi there.
Hello, next guest.
I was listening, and I didn't want to jump in because I wasn't sure what,
who
that
was.
No, that was
right. You were right. Yeah. That's a guest. So anyway, you heard me tell her all the ways that people can hear, right?
Yep.
So you're going to be on next week.
Okay.
A week from this Sunday. So if you want to tell people.
Okay. In fact, I'll put it on my list. It's going to Joel.
Because they have some making noise and doing.
I'll put it on the PR list I'm sending off today with the book.
Oh, great. Okay, so Stuart just told me, somebody's doing some work here in the house. I got interrupted for a second. Tell me what you just said about the book.
I'm dropping it at the publisher's house today.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
All right.
Just for the
so
quick look
what,
and see.
Okay, this is what we're going to take a half hour, and this is what we're going to talk about. It's going to take less than half an hour because some of it is commercial.
Okay, I'm taking notes. Go ahead.
Yeah, so it's 11 minutes and 9 minutes. So I'm going to introduce the show. I'm going to introduce you, CEO of Risa Fitness, or
count on yourself. No. Founder, CEO, count on yourself coaching.
Okay.
Count on yourself coaching.
Got it. Okay.
And if you want, I mean, the book is not obviously out there, but I don't know if it'll be titled differently, but right now it's 77 Reasons Why I Walk. But that's just what it is now. It could change, of course. You know that.
Yeah.
Or you could just you could just mention working on a book on walking if you want to talk about any of that type of stuff. Yeah.
I do.
Okay.
So what you'll see, it's this is going to be a breeze because it's going to relate to like a series. September 25th is Active Aging Week.
Ooh.
So it's just
perfect. I'll post that.
So this that so you're coming out basically pre Active Aging Week, and that's what we're going to be talking about. It's going to be so easy. It's like falling off a log. All right, so we are ready. Go.
Okay.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
That is because he's inappropriate for his age, and this is Adrian Berg. Hello, hello, hello. This is Generation Bold, the fountain of truth, about aging. Now, I think that this show will be one of the most practical, life-changing shows that we've ever done. I'll give you a little bit of a background. For many, many months, we've been interviewing people in the field of health and aging and in the field of healthy aging, which is two different things. Well, we have somebody who combines both, a knowledge of how to age healthfully, what it means to be healthy in aging, and also what happens to your health as you age. And, you know, we have been looking on the national stage of Hillary Clinton, who will be the second oldest president ever elected if she's elected, and Donald Trump, who will be the oldest president elected if he's ever elected. And we looked at this not from a political point of view, but from the issue of ageism, because we pointed out that the average age of our presidents is 54 and 11 months. We know many 54-year-olds who are simply not in as good shape as 70-year-olds. But even so, should we look at age as more than a number, or every once in a while, is it really a number? What should our expectations be as we age? We have with us today really an old friend who's been on our show for many reasons, many, many times about health and aging, and that is Risa Olinsky. She is the CEO of Count on Yourself Coaching, and she's also writing a book, 77 Reasons Why I Walk. Obviously, it's to motivate people and inspire people to do the simplest things in life, put one foot in front of the other, and keep going. So thank you, Risa. Thank you for being with us so much. Thank you so much.
Hi, Adrienne. Thank you. Thank you.
You know, I said thank you for being with us so much. I should say that, too, because you are a frequent guest. But you're also in my life, because I do have to give one personal testimonial. I was a wreck at age 48. And I'm pretty hot at age 68. I mean, let's face it. Why hide
you are.
It when you got it flaunted? And all of that 20 years, it's a long 20 years, folks. By the way, I'm broadcasting today on my birthday. It's the 68th birthday today. And it wouldn't be the same without Risa, who found me cowering in a corner under a tent, which I called my dress, and made me what I am today, really still fit. In fact, my biggest problem, honestly, it's not my biggest problem, it's a problem, my clothes still fit from when I was thinner, the thinnest. I just never got any heavier after you got me in shape, Risa. So they're all old clothes, but they fit, so I don't want to throw them out. Maybe if I got a little fatter, I'd have a reason to throw it out, but I stay the same size since you got a hold of me. So I'm telling you, she knows what she's talking about. So we're dealing with Risa Olinsky, and we're going right to the core of this. Healthy aging. Is there such a thing as overdoing it? I know that you encourage exercise and walking, but we've got two candidates who are knocking their brains out. Look, they have a very big prize in front of them, so they're going to do it. But is there a chance that if they keep this level of stress for this many months, that recovery will be difficult? And what should, depending on your answer, how should we feel about that in our own lives?
Adrienne, that's a fabulous question. And one thing I'll just start off with by pointing out what you said, the aftermath or the after effect. Stress and activity, and yes, we can overdo it. There's no question that people can overdo physical activity, they can overdo training, they can overdo things that affect their body by keeping late hours and just not getting enough sleep. And our candidates are going through that. There's no question. They both are. Now, I can easily say I don't know them personally, but just by watching what's going on the media, on the news, there's no question they're overdoing it. How does that affect us, you know, the individual? Your question about training and what happens afterwards. What happens afterwards, during and afterwards, is when the body is under a continuous, even low level or moderate level of stress. It doesn't have to be acute stress. We call that chronic stress. And the body stays on alert. It physically stays on alert because it has to act quickly. And when it's doing that, our hormone levels are all changing. Our cortisol levels are up. Other various hormones, I won't go into the science of it right now, but other various hormones are at high levels. And the body is adapting. It's adapting to the stress. You know, and again, who knows whether this is with Hillary what happened or not, but you know that after certain situations, after high levels of stress, we often get sick. We don't necessarily get sick when things are going on, but as soon as it's over, which, of course, the election is not, but when something is over, when you're dealing with something, that's often when you get sick. So it's the body's way of coping. It just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. And truthfully, this can be at any age. It doesn't, in my opinion, it doesn't necessarily have to do with how old you are. It could be a 20-year-old. It could be a 30-year-old. Stress is stress. So we have to be alert to the signs and the symptoms. We have to...
Let's take a look at that for a minute, mm-hmm. the signs and symptoms. You know, one of the things that reminded me of while you were talking is the fact that this show is for baby boomers and the mature, the older adult, but it's also for caregivers. And people who are caregivers, their average age is only 46, and they are under stress constantly. If they are a caregiver for an older adult who's living in their home, whether they're at home with them and they're a family member, or they're working and they come home to the person who's ill, there is this constant, what you call chronic stress in their life. Mm-hmm. And the symptoms and symptomology sometimes pass them by until they get sicker than the person that they're dealing with. So for them, for all the caregivers who listen, plus the rest of us who mm-hmm. build our own chronic stress, what are some of the symptoms? Let's start with symptoms first to heighten our awareness, and then we'll talk about what we could do about it second.
Well, some of the symptoms might be, one, that they're not sleeping well. Sleep is critical. And if someone is waking up multiple times in the evening with thoughts on their mind or things they can't let go of, they're not going to get good sleep. And good sleep to help is very critical. Another thing is possibly eating the wrong foods or grabbing food on the run, grabbing things because they don't have time to sit down and eat properly on their own. They're taking care of somebody, so they're grabbing food or they're feeding the person they're taking care of, cooking for them, and eating on the run. Short-tempered, nerves, things that you find yourself snapping at someone. That's a symptom of stress. Possibly other things, going to bad habits, drinking, smoking, things that will calm the body down, that they turn to. These are all symptoms of stress. And ultimately, and unfortunately, caregivers need somewhere else to let their feelings out. They need to share their feelings, and it usually can't be with the person that they're taking care of. So caregivers need someone to listen to them, whether they are children taking care of parents, whether they are aides, whether they're just a spouse, just a spouse taking care of a partner or a child. That caregiver is taking it all on themselves, and they need someone to talk to, so they might even need to consult with somebody professionally. That's very, very important. And then, of course, they usually don't get time to themselves. They usually don't get time to exercise or even just lie down, rest. If the body is not taken care of, the caregiver can't take care of the other person.
And, of course, as you were discussing all this, and we think about the different things that bring on stress and the different symptoms, we actually see it in our candidates. You see, this is all one piece. This is a human condition. I just saw a wonderful play on Broadway, which had won many, many awards, called The Humans. And in it was a woman who was very stressed. She was in her 60s, early 61. She said the age, right? It was part of the play. Mm-hmm. But she was a caregiver to an Alzheimer's mother-in-law, and she still worked, and she had other stresses. And her child said to her, an adult child, "You're eating your feelings." Mm-hmm. And we remember that phrase from long ago, eating our feelings. That's one of the ways that we act out when we're under stress. So we're speaking with Risa Olinsky. She is the CEO, the founder of Count on Yourself Coaching. We'll talk about how to reach her if you're interested in telephone coaching or any kind of coaching. She's the author to be of 77 Reasons Why I Walk, a wonderful book, great inspirational book, meaning get off the couch. When we come back, we will celebrate the week of active aging, September 25th, and Risa will tell you some of the ways that you can do that in your own life. Don't go away. Important practical information coming up.
And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Hello.
Hello, okay. You there?
Yeah, they put a commercial
music
in here.
Very cute.
And
very cute.
And now we're going to go our last segment. Okay. But I'm not going to say goodbye because you'll be the first on my show, so I'm not ending
gotcha.
With you. Okay.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So
you'll
just
give me the heads up whenever I'm I hang up. Yeah.
Right.
That's great.
And the other thing is what I want to do now. I'll give you a minute to think about this. I want to talk about how people should celebrate little things. People should celebrate Active Aging Week. So certainly the first one you're going to talk about is walking, probably.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Yep.
But then there might be other things they can do. As a coach,
mm-hmm.
I want to bring out also what does a coach do? What do you do?
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Good.
Sounds great. Sounds good.
Happy birthday. Oh, thank you.
We'll celebrate
this weekend. So while Stuart is getting the music up, I'm just going to be at your house at 8:15 tomorrow.
Yep.
Morning.
Yep.
Or 8 o'clock.
Yep.
We'll take off. Is there anything that you know of that I should be bringing that I wouldn't have thought of myself?
Well, since we have the car, you can bring anything you want, but just think about possible rain. Just in case.
Okay.
It's not supposed to, but you never know. And it could be cool up there, so if you have your zip-off pants or something, I'm going in zip-off, not going in, but I'm bringing for the walking possibly in the morning to get started. My pants that turn into shorts, because if it goes, I'll look at the weather, if it goes to cool to warm, that would be handy.
Okay.
Can't think of anything else. If I do, I'll email you.
Okay, good.
So, I'm going to bring along a bottle of wine for us and for Fran. You know,
right.
We're going
well, I want to bring
dinner.
I want to bring
ready?
Some gifts.
Yeah.
If I bring
I've
wine,
been,
I could bring wine too, but we'll see. It'll probably be wine or something.
Whatever.
Useful. All right.
Where I don't know her apartment. I've never been in it, so it's just probably a one or two bedroom. Yeah. You know.
All right. We shall see.
Okay.
You soon.
Sounds
yeah,
good.
Ready.
Okay.
Think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, cause I am happy, and I freely admit, I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello again, this is Adrienne Berg, this is Generation Bold, and we have a very practical show today, and one of those issues of practicality is how you can celebrate Active Aging Week. September 25th, it begins. And so we have with us today the person who, without whom, I would not be able to age actively, and that is Risa Olinsky. She is a fitness, a wellness coach, and when I first met her, I was a wreck. I am no longer a wreck, and she is the CEO and founder of Count on Yourself Coaching. In the midst of completing her book, 77 Reasons Why I Walk. Now, we're going to talk about how she will suggest, as a coach, how you can put small changes into your life to celebrate the 25th of September that might last for the rest of your life. So let's just talk about coaching for a minute, Risa. I'm not so sure everybody understands what wellness coaching is, so explain that to everybody and what the process is.
Okay, well, hi. Wellness coaching is all about behavioral change. We are used to fitness training, which I do as well. We're used to people telling us what to do, how to do it, how many times to do it, how much weight to lift, things like that. But over the past 10 to 15 years, health and wellness coaching has developed. Coaching in general is about an individual or a coach helping another person, be that an executive, a mother, a father, an athlete, anyone, up their game. It's about starting where you are, evaluating what the person's present situation is, what their needs and their goals are, and how much they are willing to do to get to where they want to be. And a coach helps you do that. So, for example, yesterday I met with someone for the first time, and we sat and talked about this individual's goals. And one of the individual's goals was, I need to lose 30 pounds. Now, I had trained this individual many years ago, and exercise training. Well, she came back, and we had a further conversation years later because she had put on a lot of weight. And instead of physically training her, what we started talking about is what is your life, what is her lifestyle like now, and what possibly caused, as well as aging, because she was in her 60s, is in her 60s, what caused this weight gain? Well, without going into details, it crept up over years. So the first thing we talked about is her lifestyle now and the small baby steps that she might be able to take, like in a walk 2 or 3 times a week. And she said to me, she said, well, what if I walk a half an hour on a treadmill 3 days a week? And this was a conversation. And I said, well, are you able to do that? Do you think you could walk on a treadmill 3 days a week for 30 minutes? The response was, I don't know if I have that much time. So my response as a coach is, what is doable? What do you think you can do? And she came back and she said, well, maybe I can get 2 days in. So this is the way we start. We start with small changes and then reward those changes verbally. Maybe the individual has rewards in their own way that they want to come up with. And then we take it from there. And each week that I work with someone, or say twice a month, they're accountable. This person becomes accountable to me by phone, by internet, in person. Sometimes I take the individual out and we literally go out and walk together and talk if they happen to live in my area. And we set up the next goal. It's all about achieving baby steps and getting to where you want to be, but appreciating and valuing what you accomplish. Because without that, it becomes frustrating. So it's about lifestyle change.
Yeah, what we're hearing is that we can make real change by setting goals, rewarding the goals, and being accountable to someone. So taking those three areas, goals, rewards, and accountability, into what you call the baby steps of our real life, mm-hmm. starting September 25th, you know, you could start now, by the way, everybody, but that's when Active Aging Week starts. Give us some of the ways that we could either set small goals, give ourselves rewards, and be accountable during that week to maybe make it last.
Great, great idea. I love that. First of all, I never knew about the aging week. I love it. And I'm definitely going to apply that on my Facebook pages and in my writing.
Well,
okay, so here's some thoughts.
Organizations. You should know 3,000 organizations around the country are participating in this, from senior centers to gyms to community centers and so on. It's a big deal. And you are absolutely right, Risa. It is so under the radar. We announced it last week with Colin Milner, who's been the head of it. But really, it is under the radar, despite the amount of participation. So, thoughts.
So here are some thoughts. First of all, whatever age you are, and for that week, whether it be alone by yourself or with a partner or maybe some friends, I might suggest sitting down with a piece of paper in advance or a computer and starting what I call a brain dumping process, putting down any and all ideas of what the vision or what we call your wellness vision is. What is it you would love to accomplish? And because we're going to work on it that week. So start now. What would you like to accomplish? If in a perfect world you could do X, what might that be? Now, again, you have to break that down as well. So let's talk about you want to, something like you and I do a lot of together, you want to walk a long distance, yet you have not even started walking. So you might say on whatever date that 25th is, this is the day that I'm going to begin my new walking program. I'm really, really excited about it. So that's your motivation. That's your goal. You set a specific length of time or distance, amount of time or distance. And again, if you're really starting from scratch, it might be going out for a 15-minute walk. It might be going out for a 1-mile walk. Could be any of these things. Now let's go to the accountability piece of it. What about bringing along a friend or committing to your friend, your spouse, your child, your parent, whatever it may be, making a statement and saying to another person, this is what I'm going to do. Because if you say it out loud or write it down and make a commitment, you're more likely to follow through. And
now, let me stop
that,
you there, because another mm-hmm. commitment, accountability, could be with your coach. So you want everybody to know, if you have an interest in learning more about wellness coaching, how do we reach you? because you're the accountability queen.
I love it. I love to be. I love to have people accountable to me 24/7. My email, my website is my first name, Risa, R-I-S-A, Olinsky, .com. It's really simple. It's just Risa Olinsky, .com. And my email.
Olinsky. You spelled Risa, but how about Tony Olinsky?
Olinsky is O-L-I-N-S-K-Y.
And of course,
and
this
my
is
email,
on our website too. Yeah, this is going to be on our homepage as well, so you all know that. But it's Risa.Olinsky.com.
RisaOlinsky.com. Risa Olinsky.
Yes.
If you Google my name, if you put Risa Olinsky in, I'm happy to say that it's going to pop up. It is going to pop up. I also have a Facebook page, Risa Olinsky, and Count on Yourself Coaching. And if you're in the business or you're in professionally, feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn as well.
I will do that, and I'll let everybody know. It'll be on our website. And by the way, we're going to come back in just a few moments, so don't you go anywhere. We thank Risa very much, and we'll be back. We'll be talking.
For my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Rough.
Right? Yeah, no, well, for a minute, just wait one
second. Okay, so.
Okay, so we did the two segments. They went by so fast, I couldn't remember if we did one segment or two segments. It's crazy.
It goes so fast, it's amazing.
Oh, my God. All right, I'll see what I'll bring to her. Maybe it'll be, you know, I don't want to bring, like, chocolate or cake because it's
No.
So it may just be another bottle. I mean, honestly, wine, of course, is the easiest. But,
bring the kind you like. Bring what you like, too.
Yeah. French, sure. Maybe,
if we get to her place and have a drink, bring what you like.
So
you know,
we
bring
have Denise, so there'll be four of us.
Total.
Yeah, four.
Right, total. Yeah,
great.
Denise.
Okay, that's good to know.
Good.
All right, very good.
Okay.
See you tomorrow.
All right, I'll see you in the morning. Okay.
Right, bye.
So should I stay on or go? We're finished?